Our first scripture reading is found in your Bibles in the book of Numbers. It is the incident to which Jesus refers in our gospel lesson when he talks about a snake being lifted up. Numbers 21, verses 4 through 9. From Mount Hor, they set out by the way to the Red Sea to go around the land of Edom. And the people became impatient on the way. The people spoke against God and against Moses. Why have you brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness, where there is no food and no water, and we loathe this worthless food? Then the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, so that many people of Israel died. The people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned. We have spoken against the Lord and against you. Pray to the Lord that he take the serpents from us." So Moses prayed for the people, and the Lord has said to Moses, "Make a fiery serpent and set it on a pole, and everyone who is bitten, when he sees it, shall live." So Moses made a bronze serpent and set it on a pole. And if a serpent bit anyone, he would look at the bronze serpent and live. This is the word of the Lord. Our second reading is from Paul's letter to the Ephesians, the second chapter, and we read verses 1 through 10. "And you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. But God, being rich in mercy, because of the great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in our trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one can boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them." This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel is recorded in the Gospel according to St. John, the third chapter, beginning at verse 14. Jesus begins by referencing our Old Testament reading. "As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. Whoever believes in him is not condemned, but whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. And this is the judgment. The light has come into the world, and people loved the darkness rather than the light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone who does wicked things hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But whoever does what is true comes to the light, so that it may be clearly seen that his deeds have been carried out in God. This is the gospel of the Lord. Grace, mercy, and a peace be to you from God, our Heavenly Father, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus. Amen. The text is based on your gospel and Old Testament lesson for today. Reading from John 3, verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in him may have eternal life. This is our text. Recently, I'll refer to it as an extended family member, took up a challenge with one of my children to read through the entire Bible starting at Genesis. They're up around Deuteronomy now, and the person who had taken up that challenge with one of my children recently came and asked him a question. When does God get nice? When you read through the Old Testament, by way of example, our Old Testament lesson for today, God doesn't seem very nice. I believe that they were already in Deuteronomy. And in Deuteronomy, when it is described that the people of Israel will be going into the land and conquering the peoples there, they are to utterly destroy everyone that they do battle with. Not just the soldiers, men, women, and children. Utter and complete destruction. That doesn't seem very nice, does it? All those things that we find in the Old Testament often lead people to think that somehow God changed when we get to the New Testament. The Old Testament was about an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, about vengeance and wrath. Oh, but the New Testament is about loving your neighbor as yourself. Except when Jesus said that, he was quoting the Old Testament. I've often caught some people thinking that the Old Testament's about law and the New Testament is about gospel. But you know, the first promise of a Savior is in Genesis 3:15, right after sin enters into the world. God promises to Eve and Adam a deliverer who will defeat that serpent that had enticed them to sin. No, God doesn't suddenly get nice when we hit the New Testament. And as you comb through the Old Testament again and again, you can find God's mercy and love written all through it. For God so loved the world. Well, that sounds really nice, doesn't it? Until you get down to the nitty-gritty of it. Normally, parents love their children, and parents will do almost everything help and protect and to save their children. What father would idly stand by watching his son or daughter being tortured if they could do something about it? If you saw that going on and you saw a father standing by and basically ignoring it, what would you think of such a father? You'd think him to be cruel and inhuman, and certainly not loving. For God so loved the world that he gave his only son. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God is not a God who is tolerant of sin or ignores it. Sin must be paid for. And as we probably all know from Scripture, the wages of sin, even one, is death. By the sin of one man thousands of years ago, everything you see wrong in this world began. In a sense, this pandemic that we have been going through is a result of sin. Every death, from whatever cause, is a result of sin. God is a wrathful God. He is a just God. And if you think you can get away with sin, you are dead wrong. God is also merciful. He had to do something with that wrath that he had, which was justified wrath. But in his mercy and in his love, he chose not to vent it upon us. As Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so must the Son of Man be lifted up. God chose his Son, and his Son also being God, and understanding the justice of God, but also the mercy of God, willingly took up that cross. It was lifted up before all mankind and before God, the Father himself. And all that anger and all that wrath was on full display, but not against mankind, but against God's own Son. And I quote the words frequently, they bear repeating again. When you hear, "My God, my God, why have you forsaken me?" You not only hear the agony that Jesus is going through, but again, imagine any other father standing by, watching his son go through what Jesus is going through. not answering. No thunderclaps. No comfort. Just turning away. Letting him die. It's not nice, is it? That is the God we worship. He's the same God that he always has been. Loving and merciful God. Who, because he's loving and merciful, creates man and gives him everything that he needs. How does man repay God? By calling him a liar. And trying to become God himself. Bringing all this pain and all this suffering into the world. That beautiful world that God created. Because God is a just God, that sin must be paid for. But because he is also a merciful God, he sent forth his Son, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, and whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. For God did not send the Son into the world to condemn the world, but in order that the world might be saved through him. But listen to these other words from John chapter 3. They're often not read. We quote, "For God so loved the world," John 3:16, and we tend to just stop there. Whoever believes in him is not condemned. But whoever does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. He is a God who is still full of wrath, but also a God full of mercy. And he has provided a vehicle for our redemption. Pain, the suffering, the agony that his Son endured on the cross. God considers that sufficient payment for our sins. And all who value his Son as God himself valued him will be saved. But those who say, "I don't need him. That suffering that your Son went through for me, it really means nothing." I'll find my own way to be saved. Is condemned already. Because he has not believed in the name of the only Son of God. In a sense, God never really gets nice. He is at the same time an angry God and a forgiving God. Never a tolerant God. A a God full of hatred for sin and sinners, and yet a God who so loved the world that he would give his only Son to find a way to be merciful. May God grant that throughout our lives, we recognize his true character. That the way he hates sin is the way that we will hate and despise it as well. But also that in the way he will give of himself, sinners be saved. We will also be filled with that same love, that same compassion, even to sacrifice of ourselves. Others may come to know his love. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which indeed surpasses all human understanding, guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Jesus. Amen.